presence by His Word. His Word cleanses us and washes us. And let me tell you, I hope you remember your old sword drills and you know, your ability to flip quickly, because we're going to be all over the Bible today. And we are going to get in the Christmas spirit, whether you like it or not. I'm going to bring you in kicking and screaming. You might be a Scrooge right now, but by the end of this message today, I hope that you're going to be a screaming Timothy. Tiny Tim. Just a glorious Tiny Tim by the time we're done. The first verse that I want us to read today is from Romans. The book of Romans, it's chapter 15, verse 13. And I hope that this scripture verse will make a little more sense when we're finished. Romans 15, verse 13. It says this: Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Abounding in hope. May He fill you with joy and peace. Today, I want to remind us of the gifts that Jesus brings to us. You know, gift exchanges is one of the most exciting parts of Christmas, isn't it? Especially for children. They get all excited. And a lot of us get excited. Whether we're kids physically or just kids at heart, we get excited about exchanging gifts. And you know, some people say that it's because of the gifts that the Magi brought to Jesus, and that's why we exchange gifts at Christmas time. That's why it's such a big deal, because of the gifts that the Magi brought. And I believe that for a long time, but you know, I really feel like the reason that we rejoice to give gifts to each other is because Jesus was the greatest gift ever. The greatest gift that was ever given to mankind was given at Christmas, and it was Jesus Himself. And so I think that that is a bigger reason why gifts are a big deal, is that Jesus was a big deal, and He was the greatest gift that was ever given. But you know, besides being a gift Himself, Jesus brought gifts with Him. Jesus brought gifts unto us. And today, we want to remember what those gifts are. Now, I probably won't mention every single one, but we're going to remember just three of the gifts that Jesus brings. Let's look at these together. The first one I want to remind us of is hope. Jesus brings hope. What is hope? Well, the dictionary definition is helpful. It's a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good, as a hope founded on God's gracious promises. That which gives hope, he or that which furnishes ground of expectation or promises desired good, such as the hope of Israel is the Messiah. In Greek, the word for hope is a primary word that means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. It means expectation or confidence. That's what hope is. And Jesus brought hope to the world. He brings us hope right now. We have hope. We have hope that we will see our believing loved ones again when we die. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Our believing loved ones, we will see them again. We have hope that He cares for us in the midst of our trials. Matthew 28, verse 20. We have hope that He cares about the things that we're going through. We have hope of eternal life. Eternal life, think about that. Not death, not a cessation of existence. Eternal existence. But not just eternal death, but eternal life. We have a hope that we will receive it. Titus chapter 1, verse 2, and chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. hope of eternal life. We have an expectation that he will grant us eternal life when we die, physically die, that we have attained and have been given eternal life. And we have hope that Christ will come again, that he will come again to the earth and set everything right and bring vengeance upon the evildoers. How many of you really want to see that vengeance happen? You know, you're like, man, those guys are awful. All those evil people, and you just want to see them get what's coming to them. A prophet like me kind of want to see that happen. I mean, you know, some of you folks that are more merciful, you'd be like, well, that would be nice. Why would you want that? And that's good. That's part of the body of Christ. Guys like me that are all about truth and righteousness, and boy, we want to see God, you know, just show up and show off, you know. He's going to come back, and he's, you know what I love? Our old pastor in Georgia, still Julie's pastor, and Bradley and Molly Kate too, he used to say, when Jesus comes back, he's not coming to take sides. He's coming to take over. He will be the absolute king. And we have hope that that will come about, that he will come again. The scripture gives us that hope in 1 Peter 1:13 and in Titus 2, verse 13. Ezekiel's doing a really fine job of getting our scriptures up on the screen here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus brings us hope. He is the fulfillment of our hope. The hope that mankind has had from the beginning, the hope for a Savior, Hebrews 7, verse 19. Mankind from the beginning of the world has hoped for a Savior. You see, we got a thing that's got a little problem in our lives. It's called sin. There's a sin thing that just keeps us apart from God. It keeps us from feeling fulfillment or satisfaction or genuine joy. That sin keeps us away from him. And that sin had to be dealt with. We needed a Savior. And in our deepest, lowest, most profound parts of our soul, we crave salvation. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the hope for salvation that mankind has had from the beginning. He was also the fulfillment of prophecies made from the world's beginning. Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, in Luke 1, verse 70. He said, he's the fulfillment of prophecies made since the world began. Since the world began. You know, right at the beginning when sin happened, you remember the Garden of Eden story? And you remember how God told Adam that the serpent shall bruise your heel. You shall crush his head, and he shall bruise your heel. That was a prophecy of the coming Messiah. That was a prophecy of Christ. And way back at the beginning, prophecies were made, and they kept on coming and coming and coming and coming. It's just incredible the odds of one person fulfilling every prophecy in the Old Testament. Do you know that? How many of you have ever seen those statistics? Some mathematician somewhere actually sat down and did the math about it, and he recorded every prophecy made in the Old Testament about Jesus, and he figured out the odds of one person fulfilling every single one of them. And there was specific timings and like things that had to happen in the world that had to make that all fit together in one person. It is astronomical. Like, it's one in, they don't even have the number yet. I mean, it's like 10 trillion. It's higher than trillion. 100 trillion. The number stretches out into the stars. If you just write it out, it stretches out of the atmosphere. It's unbelievable that one person would be able to fulfill every prophecy. But Jesus Christ was and is now, today, the fulfillment of those prophecies, of those hopes. Ultimately, friends, Christ is our hope. Ezekiel, pull up 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Oh, it's coming. While he pulls that up, I'll just tell you. Paul is telling his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Jesus is our hope. He doesn't just bring hope. He doesn't just fulfill hope. He is our hope. You know, friends, the hope of the universe lives in our hearts. He dwells within us. And as believers, we should never despair. We should never despair because we always have hope in Christ. There is always hope to be had in Him, even if it's just a sliver. Even if it's just a splinter of hope, that's enough for God to do amazing things. But we should always have hope. Now, that doesn't mean we're not discouraged. It doesn't mean there's not hard times. It doesn't mean there's not difficulties or trials, hardships to believe. But we should never lose hope. The greatest hope of all the world dwells in us. And we should always be ready to give an answer about the hope that lies within us. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter tells us that we should be ready to give an answer about that hope. You see, our hope sets us apart from the rest of the world. The rest of the world dies in despair. Many of them believe that mankind is just a result of random chance processes and time and chance put together, and out comes humans. And there's no meaning to their life. And that's why suicides are up. It's why so many young people today are despairing of their lives, because they have no meaning. We have meaning. We have hope. Hope to be had in Jesus Christ. And when somebody comes along and says, hey, what's different about you? We need to be ready to give an answer. It's Jesus Christ. What's the next gift that he brought to us? Jesus brought the gift of joy. Joy. What is joy? Joy is the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. That excitement of pleasurable feelings which is caused by success, good fortune, the gratification of desire, or some good thing possessed, or by a reasonable chance of possessing what we love or desire. It is exultation. It is exhilaration of spirits. Joy is a delight of the mind and heart from considering that I currently possess or am assured that I will one day possess something very good. That is joy. And Jesus brought joy to the world. Even before he was born. In Luke chapter 1 verse 44, it tells us that John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. That John the Baptist in his mother's womb could sense the presence of the Almighty God in the womb of Mary as she came and as he heard her call. He jumped for joy. He's like, whoa! He didn't even know how to talk yet. He didn't even know what words meant, and he was already feeling joy because the Savior is here. He's there. He's right there in the womb of that lady over there. He was happy. It tells us in Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, that the magi, or the wise men, rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I can imagine. If I was there with them, I would be just jumping off the ceiling. Look at that baby. He's so precious. We just had a baby at my house, and she is as precious as you can be. When church is over, I'm going to show every single person my favorite picture. It's her just laying there, cute as can be, just smiling, just sleeping and smiling. It's so cute. She is so precious. And I can only imagine seeing a precious baby born and knowing what that baby means for the world, that now here is our salvation come in the flesh, God himself laying aside his glory and coming to earth. Woohoo! That's gonna get you going. That's rejoicing right there. That's a good reason to rejoice with exceeding great joy. The angel himself in Luke chapter 2, verse 10. The angel himself said that Jesus' birth was reason for great joy. He said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Let me just mention briefly, not just to the elect. To all people, this is great joy, because it is salvation for all. Why are they so happy? Because the Savior has finally been born. They are seeing the fulfillment of the hope of all mankind since the beginning of the world. That's a long time to wait. But he's finally here. Yes! JD and Vicky just recently had a daughter who was married. And there was anticipation for that day, wasn't there? I remember the anticipation for my own wedding day. I was, oh man, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And eventually you're probably like, oh, when is it going to get here? Come on, I'm tired of this, let's go. Get it over with. But then finally that day comes and there is incredible joy because you've waited a long time and ha, it's here. And there's great rejoicing and everybody has a party and it's just such a wonderful celebration, right? Imagine that times 600, times 1,000, times a million. That's the kind of joy that the angels were experiencing. I mean, I can only think about this for a second, folks. The Bible says that after this angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." So the entire sky fills with angels, a multitude of angels. This has never happened before. There's no other recorded instance ever in the history of the world where the sky is full of angels and they all just say, "Hallelujah! Praise the Lord in heaven! The Savior is born on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." That is an incredible miracle. There's all kinds of joy wrapped up in this whole season. And in this whole story, Jesus brought joy to the world. I watched one of my favorite Christmas movies is The Nativity Story. It's a recent one. It's yours too, right, Lily? One of them? It's a good one. And in that story, in that moment, it's just Mary and Joseph in a really rough stable, kind of a cave. That's all it was. And he is delivering the baby. And she's hurting because birth hurts, kiddos. And the baby comes out and he sees this child and he weeps for joy. He just starts crying. The actor does a superb job of portraying what would have been the incredible emotion of that moment. Oh, wow. And he cries with joy at seeing the Savior for the first time. No one else has ever laid eyes on him. Here's Mary and Joseph right there, and here he is. Oh, my goodness. It gets me every time. Just thinking about it gets me. Because that's what the joy would have been like at delivering this beautiful child. Charles Wesley wrote a great hymn. The words say this: "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. There was joy that Jesus brought at his birth, and you know, he still brings us joy today. Not happiness necessarily, but joy. Joy that dwells in the midst of sorrow. Joy that cannot be taken away from us. 1 Peter 1, verse 8. You have that one, Zeke? Almost there. Perfect. Whom having not seen, ye love. Speaking of Christ. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy that we have in Jesus is so immense and strong that you can almost not even describe it. You can almost not even speak of it. It's so strong. He's still alive today. He is still alive. And the joy that they had back then at his birth can still be ours. We can still dwell in the joy of the Lord. That's why we sing, joy to the earth, joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. There is great joy. He brings us joy. He still brings us joy today. It's a joy that the world cannot receive. The world can be happy, but the world cannot be truly joyful without Christ. What's the last thing that we want to mention today? Jesus brought hope to the world. Jesus brought joy to the world as a gift from the throne of heaven. And he also brought peace. Peace. What is peace, preacher? It is harmony. It is concord. It is a state of reconciliation between parties at variance. It is to join. Quietness. It is parties at variance. So parties are fighting. They're hitting each other. They're pounding each other. They're at war. Peace is when there's a cessation of fighting, but not just that they stop fighting, but they are joined together. That's peace. It's the unification of parties at variance, reconciliation, not just a ceasefire. How about Luke 1, verse 79? To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus came to guide our feet into the way of peace. How about Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 22? Let me just read that to you. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. We were enemies of God, wicked works in our mind and in our bodies, and yet now hath he reconciled through the peace that is brought to us from Jesus Christ. George Whitefield said, Jesus was God and man in one person, that God and man might be happy together again. That is unification. That is reconciliation. That is peace. The peace that passes understanding. That's why the angel said, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Let the earth have peace. Peace can be achieved. God and men were fighting with each other. There was enemies. But peace has been achieved. The peace of God has been brought to us and given to us through the person of Jesus Christ. And that is a reason for great rejoicing. One of my favorite hymns, and I'm sure we'll sing it sometime this month, is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Charles Wesley knew how to write a hymn. Let me tell you something. The first verse, you know it well. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn king. Listen to this line. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. You see, those angels, they had triumph. They had glory. They wallowed in it all day long up in heaven. And now we join the triumph of the skies through Jesus Christ, who brought the peace of heaven down to men. So that when, though we were enemies with God, we can now be reconciled. God and sinners reconciled, brought together in peace at last. That is why they were just shouting, "Woo! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Hallelujah for the peace of God that comes in Jesus Christ, which we are given freely. We don't have to pay dues. We don't have to live a certain way. We don't have to do a certain thing or read our Bible a certain amount of time or come to church a certain amount of times. We don't have to know the right people to get into the club. It is freely offered to every person that breathes breath. Anybody, anywhere gets the freedom to choose to receive the free gift of salvation that God pours upon His people, upon all of us. The peace of God, just barrels of it poured out upon us. No wonder they were shouting glory, rejoicing. Praise the Lord for the peace that He grants to us in Jesus Christ. And now let's turn back again to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 verse 13 again. Now the God of hope fill you the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Believing, but believing in what? Believing in Christ. These gifts are freely offered, but they are not made active in our experience until we believe. Faith in Him is like unwrapping the present. It's like if somebody gives you a present at Christmas time and it's just beautifully wrapped. You've probably received some of them. You gentlemen probably have never actually given one. But you've received certainly a beautifully wrapped gift. And wow, amazing. And then you just look at it. And you set it on your shelf, and year after year it's up there on your shelf, and boy, that's a beautiful present. But you don't really know what's inside. Even if they told you, hey, I got you this brand new Whatchima Jagger that you wanted, you know, this is it, right? Go ahead and open it. You can have it. And you just, no, I'm not ready. Not yet. That gift does you no good. It's not effective in your experience because you didn't open it up. The Bible says that it is by grace that we are saved through faith, but not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. We take that gift, all these beautiful gifts that Jesus has brought to mankind, and we experience them by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we put our faith in Him that He is who he said he was, that he did what he said he did, and that he paid the price on the cross for my sins and rose again the third day to give me life and victory in him forever, for all time. When I believe that, that's when I know true hope. When I experience unspeakable joy and have eternal peace, real, genuine, lasting peace, where I am reconciled with my God in heaven, and I know that I will live forever with him. It is from the faith that I put in Jesus Christ, trusting in him. Friends, that is why Christmas is awesome. That's why it's beautiful. That's why it's such a precious and holy time of year, is because it speaks to our eternal need and to the eternal gifts that Jesus brought to us. When God chose to give to us something so precious as his own Son, that's the belief that brings to us a fullness of joy and peace and hope in Christ, as taught to us here in Romans. Friends, are you sitting there without hope today? Are you despairing? Do you feel there is no hope? Put your faith in Jesus. He is our hope. And it doesn't matter how difficult the situation you're facing. It doesn't matter how immense the mountain may seem. There is a sliver of hope somewhere there. And sometimes all we can do is just hang on tight and say, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I still have hope in Jesus. And I know that Jesus cares for me. I'm going to hang on to him. There is hope to be had in him. Put your faith in Jesus. Are you sitting there finding your joy lacking? Have you lost the joy of your salvation? Do you find no excitement anymore in the things of God? The answer to that is to get into the Word of God. If you get into the Word of God, your faith will increase. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God starts there, then the Spirit brings hearing with understanding. It brings insight. And then from that, we begin to believe, and we have faith that begins to grow. And when our faith is strong, our joy will be strong too. We gain joy in the Lord when we believe that what he said is true. When we believe his attributes are real, that he is who he says he is. But we can't know who he says he is if we're not spending any time in the Bible. That's the reason so many Christians lack excitement and joy in their life, is because they are not in God's Word. Not really. You dive in here, and friends, you're going to find something very exciting. What about your peace? Do you lack peace? Do you feel as there's a wall between you and God? Is there reconciliation that is needed? Do you find no peace, no contentment, no solace? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He is the peace of the world. He brings peace to all. He showers us with the grace to be at peace with God if we will believe in him. Lay down the fight, folks. Stop fighting with God and lay down your sword and trust. Simply trust him. Have faith in him. And I guarantee you, the gifts that Jesus brought to the world when he was made into a baby, hope, joy, and peace, they'll be yours too. They can be ours. They actually are ours. You just got to take the gift off the shelf and open it up. You got to open it up if you want to experience the genuine, true gifts of God. So why don't we pray? Father, this verse talks about the power of the Holy Ghost, and we need the power of your Holy Spirit to give us these gifts, to help us to live the way we should. Lord, to embrace joy, to embrace hope, and embrace the peace of God. So, Father, would you please grant us that power? Would you give to us a fullness of these attributes, these gifts that you brought to us? Would you give us a fullness of these things during this Christmas season? Help our hearts to be full and overflowing with glory and praise unto you for what you have done. Remind us of the beauty and the joy and the gracious, wonderful, precious thing that this season represents to us. We praise you. We thank you for all of your love, and we pray all this in Jesus' name.